jobs report, forgetting the lessons of the so-called recovery summer about a year and a half ago.
I think that you should be cautious in being able to say that, hey, this shows the labor market recovery is going to continue to be strong. So I think the White House may be getting a little bit ahead of themselves.
And on the campaign trail, Republican Mitt Romney continues hammering away at President Obama's handling of the economy. Romney says 35 consecutive weeks of unemployment above 8% is no cause for celebration. Also at SRNnews.com, he knows he faces an uphill fight in New Hampshire, where Mitt Romney is favored to win next week's GOP primary. But Rick Santorum isn't slowing down.
Whether I finish first or second or third, momentum is what it's about. You can add to that momentum here in New Hampshire, and I would appreciate anything you can do in that regard.
Romney is almost a native son in New Hampshire. He owns a summer home there and was governor of Massachusetts right next door. Updating Wall Street, the Dow down about 21 points, the NASDAQ trading 12 points higher. This is SRN News.
Good afternoon, Tucson. At 12:02, I'm Ray Allen on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. This news update is provided by the Arizona Daily Star. City Manager Richard Miranda has formed a task force to make the streets safer for pedestrians. The group's formation comes 2 weeks after a 13-year-old boy was killed while crossing 22nd Street near Reed Park. One of the items the group will concentrate on is placement of crosswalk signals. The area where the youth was struck was on the list this year for a crosswalk signal to be installed. The task force will also focus on education and law enforcement. And Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio says he'll seek re-election this year. He and his department are subject to a federal probe into allegations that the department is biased towards Latinos and has racially profiled the group. His department has also been accused of botching hundreds of sex crimes cases. The Arizona Republic reports that only one candidate has emerged to take on Arpaio, and none of the politicians who have called for Arpaio to resign have endorsed the new candidate. And a Tucson city magistrate dismissed 85 citations against Occupy Tucson demonstrators. The city attorney made the request, saying the city would have had a difficult time proving that the curfew hours were consistently posted at Armory Park. More than 100 other demonstrators are scheduled to go on trial with 700 citations. About 20 people are still sleeping on the sidewalk at Venti de Augusto Park as part of the movement. And Solomon Hill scored 16 points for the Arizona Wildcats as they lost to UCLA last night, 65-58. Next, the Cats play USC Sunday at 3:30 on Fox Sports Net Arizona. The Lady Cats defeated UCLA at McHale last night, 74-66. This news update is provided by the Arizona Daily Star. Tucson weather for you on your Friday. Gonna be nice and sunny out there. Partly cloudy tonight with a low around 42 degrees. Over the weekend, 70 on Saturday, cooling down to 62 Sunday. Overnight lows all weekend right around 40. And right now we're going into the Buckmaster Show. Heard weekdays from 12 to 1 right here on AM 1030 KVOI The Voice. And always online at KVOI.com.
Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's Friday, January the 6th, 2012. Today, the Feast of the Epiphany, the day the three kings officially mark the end of the Christmas season. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Thanks for choosing the Buckmaster Show. We are live Monday through Friday at noon on The Voice, KVOI, AM 1030 at Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and The Voice Network partners, our friends in Douglas and Cochise County, listening to us on the Buckmaster Show at 9:30 a.m. KAPR, and in Gila County and Globe, Eastern Arizonans, listen to the Buckmaster Show on KJAA AM 1240. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and KVOI.com. There are also three places where you can have any time listening of our program. We have the buckmastershow.com. That's my website. We're on tucsonsentinel.com. And our latest venue, TucsonCitizen.com. Buckmaster.com. Fridays on the Buckmaster Show, we get things going with the Friday Focus interview featuring a newsmaker. Today, we welcome Tom Zollner, author of a new book titled A Safeway in Arizona, What the Gabrielle Giffords Shooting Tells Us About the Grand Canyon State and Life in Arizona. Mr. Zollner, whose family has lived in Arizona for five generations, grew up in Phoenix and Tucson. He is currently an associate professor of English at the Orange County, California-based Chapman University. He's worked as a reporter for the Arizona Republic. He's also the author of three previous books. His book titled Uranium won the 2010 American Institutes of Physics Science Writing Award. Joining me to question Tom Zollner is Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Dan is a former colleague of Tom's at the Arizona Republic, and we invite you to join in the conversation on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. Before we get to Tom Zollner, we want to remind you that the Friday Focus on the Buckmaster Show is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. You can find out more at SplendidoAZ.net. Tom Zollner, thank you very much for being with us. Congratulations on the very positive reviews you're getting on the book.
Thank you, Bill. It's good to be here.
A Safeway in Arizona is a masterly work of reporting, historical analysis, and sly cultural criticism. That was a very favorable review in the Boston Globe. Tom, why did you decide to tackle this project?
After the shooting, there was enormous conjecture about what happened and why, and I think that question went away too quickly. Clarence Stupnik, as everyone remembers, in a now famous press conference, blamed prejudice and bigotry and had criticism heaped upon him as a result. And while the sheriff's words were intemperate and spoken in the heat of the moment, I think that the very core of his instinct was correct in that it may not have been prejudice and bigotry that caused this to happen, but certainly any time an act of violence like this occurs, it can never be written off as being solely the act of the individual. You cannot strip people away of their context. And I think to do that is to sort of miss the lessons that this has to teach us.
Dan Scheer.
Tom, first of all, congratulations. Very, very good book. Very interesting. And it's almost like reading eight books in one. You deal with some you go very deep on several subjects: rapid growth and development, history, schizophrenia, immigration, even newspapering, which was interesting. And thank you for not writing something predictable that would have landed you on Oprah. So I appreciate that. The book doesn't quite make the connection, though. Who is to blame? Who is to blame, and is it important to lay blame?
This is something that is going to be argued about for decades. This was a signal moment in the history of Tucson, in the history of Arizona, and I think, first of all, it was an enormously painful thing for those involved, an enormously painful thing for people in this community and also in the United States. It's just beyond words, the obscenity of what happened. However, there's a question mark at the center of it. Why? And I thought it was enormously important to try and get at some answers. And the answers that I found are not going to satisfy everyone. There is no slam dunk connecting of the dots. There is no reveal here that the cloak is pulled back and we're going to have 100% answer. However, the deeper that I looked at this incident, the more and more I became convinced that this was indeed the delusional, violent fantasies of a young man who was in a lot of loneliness and a lot of misery, but that he was most definitely pushed in a certain direction by several contextual factors in Arizona. And did Arizona cause this? No, absolutely not. I'm not saying that. I am saying that Arizona, the modern state of Arizona, did provide an enabling context for such an unthinkable event to take place.
A Safeway in Arizona is the name of the book. Tom Zollner is with us. Could this have happened, Tom, anywhere in the country, or is this the factors make this a kind of a unique hybrid to where we live here in Tucson?
absolutely, this could have happened anywhere. However, my belief, not everyone is going to agree with me, is that it was slightly more likely in Arizona.
I want to read a quote to you from the book. It's toward the end, and I want you to explain it a little bit. And I'm going to just be up front here. I don't agree with it. It's from Dan Ranieri of La Frontera. He says, "This event happened because of the extremism and the isolation of Arizona, and you have to talk about both. Nobody is going to convince me that didn't help pull the trigger." What did he mean, and what do you think about it?
No one who went through the remembers the election of 2010 between Gabrielle and Jesse Kelly. And Dan, I know you were there at the student union at the University of Arizona the night of the contentious, weirdly contentious debate. Bill, I think you were there too. And that was of a piece of the way that the campaign had played out. A nastiness in the air that in 30 years of watching Arizona politics, I had never seen it get to that level. And it was, you know, those of us who have lived in Tucson a long time will remember the really kind of blissfully boring congressional elections we used to have in this town. You know, Morris Udall, Jim Colby. I mean, was there back and forth? Sure. Did the politics get heated? I mean, that's the nature of politics, absolutely. But there was almost an apocalypticism in the air with Gabrielle. She was held out as the very face of the evil federal government that was going to come in and take jobs and take guns and do all kinds of malevolent things. And you would have had to have been hiding under a rock to have missed it. And this is, I think, a key point that the book makes that I don't want to get lost. The nature of paranoid schizophrenia is such that your thoughts are delusional. You have a very hard time separating fantasy from reality. But your eyes and ears are still working. And numerous academic studies of paranoid schizophrenia show that when your delusions do take on a political contour, as undoubtedly Jared Loeffner was a political animal. He was constantly talking about the Constitution, constantly talking about this weird new currency that he wanted to make, talking about how the government was sort of a fraud, all this sort of thing. Studies of paranoid schizophrenia have shown that when this happens, when the patient has political delusions, they are highly sensitive to the surrounding political culture. And just briefly, I'll round this out to say that in South Korea, for example, when patients of paranoid schizophrenia have political delusions, they begin to fantasize about generally agents from North Korea coming in to follow them. That's very specific to South Korea. Jared Loeffner had delusions that I think were influenced by the culture of Southern Arizona.
But Gabrielle Giffords' campaign was just as part and parcel to this whole building up of the rhetoric as anybody else. In fact, you have a very revealing quote in there from Rahm Emanuel after she won, after she knew that Jesse Kelly would be her opponent after the primary. And he says, "Put your foot on his neck and don't let up." That is not the Gabrielle Giffords we know. We know she can be tough. But this, really, who was in charge of that campaign and who is responsible for it getting to the level that it did? Because that night at U of A, I was on the panel, that was just not the way it was supposed to happen.
Well, I should say by disclosure here that I worked for Gabrielle's campaign in 2010. And, you know, my point of view in this book is not classic objective journalism because I care very deeply for Gabrielle. And I was not in the inner circle in that campaign, but I participated in it on a daily basis. I was down there at the office every day. And here's what I'll say to that, Dan, is that I believe that Gabrielle was gone after personally. The ad hominem against Gabrielle was at a high level. And I don't believe Gabrielle's campaign went after Jesse Kelly in an ad hominem sort of way. His positions were certainly highlighted and so forth. But personally, you know, to the man attacks, we didn't do that.
12:14 on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to be going now to Ira on the Buckmaster Show live line, and he has a question for Tom Zollner about Gabrielle Giffords as a politician.
Nothing against what she went through. She went through a heck of a lot. But I've always thought of her as a political lightweight. She changed political parties. She claimed that she couldn't run the family business because of all the competition there is today, and there's a lot of family-owned tire businesses across the country that are prospering. I just never respected her opinions very much. I'm not taking away from what she's been through, but she goes whichever way the wind blows is what I've seen.
Okay,
I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you, Ira. Go ahead, Tom.
That's not been my experience. I won't, try and convince you of my point of view. I can only say that what I saw of Gabrielle on a personal level was that she had dedicated her life to public service. And yes, it's true. She did register as a Republican in the first couple times she voted. But, people's political beliefs do change. And I don't think she did so for reasons of political advantage. I think she honestly began to change her views.
Tom, you've covered several campaigns as a reporter. How was it different being in there as a campaign worker? What did you see?
It is different. What did I see in terms of like sort of the daily sausage making of a
right,
campaign?
Right.
Well, I mean, you try and tell your story the best you can. I mean, Dan, you and I work together at the Republic, and it's a different kind of storytelling. And I'll say that I never felt completely comfortable with being sort of a political storyteller. It just doesn't come natural to my DNA. So I made myself do it because, I thought Tucson would be a better place for Gabrielle being in office. Still do, as a matter of fact. But, as for enjoying it, no, I didn't particularly enjoy it.
12:17 on the Buckmaster Show. A note to Rose, my producer. Let's take Robert and then we'll go to the break before we'll get a quick answer from Tom on Robert's question. Go ahead, Robert. You're on the Buckmaster Show.
Hey, Bill. Yeah, I'd like to ask your guest if you think that we're going to be defined by this year after year after year on the anniversary.
Very good question, Robert. Thank you. Go ahead, Tom.
Robert, I hope not. Tucson is so much more than this event. While I believe that environmental factors at work in Tucson did play a contributing role in this, I don't think that this has to be a forever thing. It is a major event in the history of the state of Arizona, but I do hope that as time goes on, we will not be, forever defined by this, or for that matter, the people who were there at the Safeway that day. I hope and pray that this does not become a, the most important thing here on forward.
Tom Zellner is with us, and the book is A Safeway in Arizona. We're going to take a break right here at 12:18 on the Buckmaster Show. It's Friday Focus. We will be back, and we'll talk some more with Tom right after this.
Cleaning out the garage.
Not exactly. I'm trying to find Grandma Lynn's clock for what it's worth.
For what?
What's it worth with a Z? It's an antiques appraisal fundraising event on February 12th at the Doubletree Hotel. You can bring in two items, have them appraised by those famous appraisers, you see on TV.
Famous appraisers?
Yeah, Colleen Fesco, Michael Flanagan.
How much does it cost and what can I have appraised?
A $60 ticket, woman, admits two people and you can bring up to two items. You can bring furniture, jewelry, china, rugs, paintings, whatever. The proceeds go to help children in need in Tucson.
Where can I buy tickets?
You can buy your tickets online at whatsitworth.org. That's what's it with a Z. Wait, where are you going?
I'm going to find my two items for What's It Worth. I love Michael Flanagan, and it's for a good cause. See you there.
Proceeds benefit Assistance League of Tucson.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain and Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50-plus housing awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
It's 12:23. This is Friday Focus on the Buckmaster Show on our home station, AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Our newsmaker today is Tom Zollner. A Safeway in Arizona is his new book, What the Gabriel Gifford Shooting Tells Us About the Grand Canyon State in Life and Life in America. 790-2040 is the Buckmaster Show live line if you would like to ask Tom a question. My question for Tom is the question that we've been asking folks in the media and probably everybody in this town. What is Gabriel Gifford's political future as far as your and you don't have inside information about this, just your own personal opinion. Maybe you do have inside information.
No, I don't actually. I hope that Gabby does return to public life. I hope that's in Congress. This is ultimately her decision to make, but I know that she is one of the best public officials that I've ever met, and I can't imagine that she wouldn't have a place in the future of Arizona.
And the reaction from folks associated that are very close to Gabby to the book?
I haven't gotten any.
Okay.
What kind of input did you seek from them or any on the book? Did you try to get direct access to her, talk to them? Did you know pretty much they wouldn't want to talk to you? They were doing their own book. What was the deal?
You know, Mark Kelly and Gabby and a co-writer named Jeff Saslow wrote a very fine book about their marriage, about sort of a twin biography. A detailed, very incredibly touching account of Gabby getting better. Their book is a look forward, you might say. Mine is different. It's sort of a look backward. What caused the shooting? What was it about Arizona that may have played a role? And so these are two very different books.
A lot of activities planned at beyond-tucson.org has the whole list of the commemorating this very sad, tragic event in Tucson this weekend. Tom Zollner, what do you think about the way the community is decided to react to this year anniversary?
There's an unmissable commemoration of this event, and it's reminiscent actually of those days immediately after the shooting, when there was a tremendous outpouring of civic grief. And I think it's necessary. I think it's appropriate. The thing that I think is really important for us to get out of this is a sense of how can we be a better Arizona as a result of it, and what was it that may have created a scenario in which such a profane thing could be thinkable, and most importantly, what are we going to do about it? I'd like to see some pragmatic action out of this.
We're quickly running out of time, but I do want to take this quick call from Joe. So, Joe, make your comment here very quick with Tom Zollner coming up on 12:26 on the Buckmaster Show. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, my comment is just in response to Ira. You know what? When dealing with Gabby, it was dealing with somebody who was conservative, did switch over to the Democratic Party, and I felt that in when back. Looking back to that section of time, we were dealing with that health care, the public option aspect of it. It got hot and heavy. I was pushing for the public option. So I was in contact with their office quite a bit. And Gabe Zimmerman was sick of talking to me. and the fact of the matter is...
Gabe had a really long fuse, Joe. So
he did. You know what? And I'll tell you what, man. That I don't even want to, you know, think about how much I miss Gabe. But at the end of the day, that was dealing with Gabby, and that's this district, and it speaks to it, but it also speaks to the Tea Party types who get whooped up and were doing armed demonstrations when they were showing up in front of that place. And when I called there, I was requesting that they request a police presence to kind of offset some of that lunatic behavior. And that is something that I hope we don't forget. Okay. January 8th, it's going to be here, whether we want to. That's cancer on this town, and it manifests itself in this weird political party types that, you know, get freaked out. We're going to have another election season coming up. So
thanks,
I
Joe.
Hope we don't forget.
Okay, thank you, Joe. Tom, any reaction to what Joe just said?
Yeah, I agree with Joe here. It shouldn't get like that. I mean, we can as a great Arizonan, Barry Goldwater, said, we can disagree without being disagreeable. And that's the direction we had gone.
Dan Scheer, we're quickly running out of time, but you have another question for Tom.
Yeah, Loeffner went to Pima Community College, and early in your book, you really kind of take them to task, and I'm going to stop short of saying you blame them. And then later on in the book, you kind of back off, but we ask the question, what do you do when you see somebody who's acting like this, and what is our responsibility?
Jared Loeffner was gravely ill. No one who came into contact with him had any doubt, and there's no question, I think, that Pima Community College should have, in addition to kicking him out, referred him to Pima County Behavioral Health and perhaps even gotten a judge's committal order. This was falling down on the job, in my view.
Coming up now, 12:28, we've got another minute with Tom Zollner. The book is A Safeway in Arizona. I want to mention that, Tom, you have an appearance tonight at Antigone Books in Tucson, the downtown area. Tell us a little bit about what you're going to be talking – well, you're going to talk about the book, but about tonight's event.
Well, you know, I just want to say I feel profoundly weird about, you know, writing about this in the first place. Gabby is someone I care tremendously about. I just felt a strong need to report aspects of this event, to talk about aspects of this event that we're not getting out there in the national discourse. And so I hope that, you know, this is viewed as a useful public service. Not everyone is going to agree with me, and that's totally cool. You know, we can disagree without being disagreeable. But I did feel like that I wanted to read this book in Tucson.
Safeway in Arizona. The book is available, I guess, just about everywhere. Right?
Yeah, should be.
Tom, congratulations to you. Well-written book. Tom Zollner and Dan Scheer, thanks for joining me. Dan will be sticking around. Jimmy Bogle will join us for our weekly Friday Reporters Roundtable here on the Buckmaster Show. Tom, good luck to you. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
It is the Buckmaster Show. It's Friday Focus. We have the Friday Reporters Roundtable. Talk about the week's big stories, and that's coming up next on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. One private economist says the labor market is healing, but that it will take years to make up for lost jobs. Word today that employers added some 200,000 jobs last month, dropping the unemployment rate to 8.5%. Mitt Romney already looking past New Hampshire, campaigning today in South Carolina with a two-pronged message, telling voters that President Obama has mishandled the economy and that the plan to shrink the U.S. military is inexcusable and unthinkable. Syria's government vows to respond with an iron fist to any further security threats. There was a bombing today in Damascus. 25 people were killed, dozens wounded. Wall Street, the Dow down about 32 points. The NASDAQ is up 10. The S&P currently unchanged. More details at srnnews.com.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
/12:34 This is the Buckmaster Show, and welcome back. We are on KVOI AM 1030 and the Voice Network over Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. Each Friday afternoon, we present the Friday Reporters Roundtable, featuring local journalists who sound off on the week's top stories. Joining me today on the Friday Reporters Roundtable, Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News and Soharita Sun, and Jimmy Bogle has joined me in studio, editor of the award-winning Tucson Weekly. And we welcome you to join in the conversation anytime on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. A reminder that the Reporters Roundtable on the Buckmaster Show is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net. Jimmy, let's begin with you. We just talked, as you know, with Tom Zollner about the book, A Safeway in Arizona. This is a very difficult subject for those of us who have lived through this this tragedy and really a year that, I mean, it's been on the mind. Let's face it, we've been wondering how Gabby's doing, what's her political future, so many questions out there. And now here we are, the one-year anniversary. There are these many events going on this weekend, some two dozen put together by Beyond Tucson. Some of your thoughts, Jimmy.
Well, it's kind of amazing that it's already a year has gone by. But I think that my biggest thought is what's next. I mean, we are all dying to know what Gabrielle Giffords is going to do. I'm very curious to see how these events of this weekend go, what's going to happen at the memorial service she's going to be at the UA Mall on Sunday evening. I haven't read Tom Zollner's book yet. He actually ran a piece in the Tucson Weekly this week talking about some of his points and everything. The one thing I just wanted to say about that is, and once again, I haven't read the book, so I'm reserving judgment on that, is that I don't think it was necessarily unique to Arizona, the really nasty political environment that we had. I happened to be in – I'm originally from Nevada, as you know, Bill, and I happened to be in Las Vegas for a conference about a week and a half before the election for the Senate seat up there between Harry Reid and Sharon Angle, and it was as nasty as you can possibly imagine up there. So I think that, you know, early on in the show during your segment with Tom Zollner, Tom said it could happen anywhere, but it was maybe more likely to happen in Arizona. I just think saying it could happen anywhere is really where to end that sentence.
Could it happen anywhere, Dan Scheer?
Boy, good question. I think it could. I think Tom brings up some really very interesting points in his book about how Arizona was built and how it was built quickly. And the most interesting point to me was the idea of privacy or seclusion, how we cut ourselves off from our neighbors and we just simply are not as neighborly as we used to be. Therefore, we're not as much of a support to each other.
You know, I think it's going to be very interesting to see the attendance at some of these events that Beyond is putting on. And by the way, again, it's very easy to find out. The list is at beyond-tucson.org, and there's at least two dozen events. We had Gabe Zimmerman, his dad, was with us on the Buckmaster Show, and of course he's been very instrumental in putting a lot of this Beyond Tucson events together. And I'm wondering, well, first of all, it'll be interesting to see how many people are going, how well attended this will be, and whether this will be some kind of a I know the Zimmerman family would like to make it an annual event.
Yeah, and I think the fact that there's so many events, I think that, you know, obviously some will be very well attended. I think, you know, if you want to get to the – you want to get on the UA Mall on Sunday, get there early.
Yeah.
But a lot of these events – I just think the fact that Beyond Tucson is really putting an emphasis on getting outside, enjoying the nature and the wonderful aspect of Tucson. Frankly, that's something I don't enjoy much. You know, all of us here tend to be inside studios or newsrooms, and I think the fact that they're putting an emphasis on that, on getting outside and enjoying the beauties of Southern Arizona and nature, I think that's a beautiful thing. So in that respect, I hope it becomes an annual event. And, you know, it's really I had a conversation with Jim Nenzel discussing this week's issue, which was a lot of work, and I'm very proud of it, if I do say so myself, that the Tucson Weekly did with, you know, I believe we had 8 or 9 different stories or groups of stories about January 8th and the anniversary. But Jim looked at me and said, you know what, I hope we don't have to do this next year. And that wasn't meant, you know, obviously we want to remember what happened and everything. But by the same token, I think that I would much rather be talking about Gabrielle Giffords' policies in Congress and how we agree with them or disagree with them than talking about the horrors of that day and talking about the good that's been done as a result, you know, talking about the assistance center that the food bank built.
Yes.
So I hope we aren't doing it as much of the downer stuff. Next year, I hope we're doing the positive stuff.
But I think it's interesting because we have events going on down in Green Valley and then in Sahuarita, and we are commemorating, but we're also celebrating these people's lives. And again, the idea of getting outside and getting to know your neighbors and connecting is very important, of course, to Gabe Zimmerman and to Gabrielle Giffords. Boy, I sure hope that if we have something next year, though, that it just keeps spinning it forward. I don't want to keep coming back to this, I'll be honest with you. And I don't know how that's going to play with some people.
Exactly.
And I think there is a segment of the area population who will not want to take part in anything. They'll want to just do something completely different this weekend just to try to get through it.
Exactly. I mean, you know, we were all of us
and
here.
I'm not saying that's right or wrong.
No, I think it's absolutely
just however
makes sense.
Each of us,
I wasn't there. Yeah. I didn't live through that hell that they lived through. So I you know, but it was tough enough just to be, you know, on the outskirts of it as a member of the media. If people just want to get away with it and or just away from it, my hat's off to you, because I can't imagine what some of the people who lived through that and experienced various aspects of that are going through. I just can't.
Bill, I was wondering if I could ask Jimmy the question that was came from one of the callers earlier, and that is, do you think, at least to some degree, that this event is going to define Tucson?
I think in some ways it will. I mean, it really it depends on what the future brings. I mean, if Gabrielle Giffords goes on and becomes a senator or who knows what, then it's going to define Tucson in respect. But, you know, I don't think it's going to be as like, you know, Columbine or something like that. I don't think it's going to define it, but it's always going to be a part of it. No mistake about that.
790-2040, 790-2040. If you would like to join in on the Reporters Roundtable, you are welcome to do so. We're talking about the one-year anniversary of the tragic shootings here in Tucson on January 8th. Also have a lot of political news this week. Sheriff Babu up in Pinal County, he wants to run. Jimmy Bogle, he wants to run for Congress, and he represents that newly drawn Congressional District 4, which really only includes a small portion of northern Pinal County.
Exactly. But it's also a rather Republican district, if I'm not mistaken. And Paul Babeau has, since he got elected a couple years ago, has really been, you know, I hate to use the phrase kissing up, but I'm going to use it, kissing up to the right-wing part of the party, trying to become like a Joe Arpaio Jr. in a lot of ways and, you know, claiming in some ways that Pinal County, if not necessarily claiming it exactly, acting like Pinal County is a border county when it's not. So I think that there's some political opportunism there, and I think, you know, he's got a good chance.
I think that's interesting because you have to answer questions as a sheriff differently than you have to answer them as a candidate. And I think now what's going to come home to roost for him is this sense there that things are really, really bad when they're not nearly as bad, particularly in his county, as he makes them out to be. So he's going to have to face some numbers and come up with some answers. And things are tough, but he has been using the fear factor pretty heavily.
And let's face it, he's a newbie. I mean, he hasn't been on the political scene for very long at all. How long ago was he elected? 2 years?
Right.
So, he's going to face a heck of a lot of questions that he's never faced before.
Let's go now to the Buckmaster Show live line. Everyone is always welcome to join in the conversation, even though temporarily we have concluded talking about Gabrielle Giffords. Well, we haven't. Wayne is with us, and he has a comment. Go ahead, Wayne.
Yes, good afternoon. One of the things that concerned me about the previous segment is that there was a sense that the shooting on January 8th was a political event, and it really wasn't. It was not. One caller exclaimed about the Tea Party and all of this. Jared Lochner is not a political person. He's a crazy person. And frankly, there's nothing wrong with Arizona that caused this to happen. This was a tragedy caused by a crazy person, and it really bothers me the political gain that people are trying to get out of this terrible event.
And Wayne, you know, we did bring that up, and Tom Zollner really disagrees with both Dan Scheer and I on that point about that this was a tragedy. I think Dan agrees with me. This really could have happened anywhere, and we do disagree with Tom Zollner, the author, about that. And Wayne, thanks for joining in. Okay. Getting back now, we also had the resignation of Senator Kristen Sinema. Up in Phoenix. She's going to be running now for Congress.
Yeah, this is not a surprise at all. If you're on her email list, which I am, she's been running for about a good long time. She's very smart. She's not afraid to get in there and mix it up. It'll be interesting to see with all the boundaries and how they've been redrawn up in that area, how she fares. But I was a little surprised that she resigned, and we'll see. She's certainly somebody who, even if she loses, we're going to be hearing from in the future.
I was kind of surprised she resigned, too, because she has a fair amount of a political spotlight being in the legislature. And, of course, the way it works in Arizona, you can't announce you're running and keep your office. So she decided to just go full ahead with the campaign. I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of these announcements coming up because now we have the IRC maps are finalized, although, you know, they've got to jump through the Justice Department hoops and who knows what court challenges there will be. I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of this. I think probably the last one we'll see is the new Congressional District 2, which is Gabrielle Giffords' congressional seat, because I think she's – you know, I don't think we're going to have a decision from her anytime soon. And let's face it, if she runs again, she's a shoo-in. But if she doesn't run again, it's wide open.
Absolutely.
Dan Scheer, it's always a pleasure having you here. And when you do come on the program, we like to kind of hit on some of your big stories in Green Valley. And we read here locally that $5 million for a – park in Green Valley? Is this something that's been in the works?
Well, in defense of Green Valley, there are no public
no
parks in Green Valley. No public parks in Green Valley. Now we have 13 rec centers, but you have to be a member. But this has actually been in the works for years and maybe even a decade, and it's been driven by a guy named Chuck Catino. And what he's done is he managed to secure the land. He's managed to secure commitments and manpower from FICO and from Caterpillar to now prepare the land. But in the end, we're going to need a bond passed to get this park built. And I don't know that a bond is going to be real popular now if it's not going to be revenue generating. But Chuck has been working on this. They want ball fields. They want trails, dog parks, the whole bit. And again, Green Valley has none of this right now, and we're unincorporated, so the county is our first layer of government. I got to tell you, this man has been on my doorstep far more than I ever want to see him, but there are a few people down there working harder.
And the Community Performance and Arts Center, was it closed for a while?
No, what happened is that this is they have a deal with the county, and last summer they came to the county and said, we're going to close in a month because we just don't have the money to make it anymore. And this thing just opened, remember, in 2009. So not even 3 years yet. And the community rallied, raised money to get them through a very tough summer. And now they've bounced back. And we did a story on them a few days ago. They've had to retool a little bit. They're renting out the facility to, you know, a quinceañera or graduation parties, things like that. But, of course, they still have the arts events, too. But they've had to do some things that maybe they didn't think in the past they would have to do to stay afloat. But they're approaching it in a much smarter way. And I think they have a good future.
Alexander Sugiyama was sworn in, Jimmy Bogle, this week as the newest member of the TUSD Governing Board. And it's interesting that at the first meeting, Dr. Mark Stegeman is back now as president of TUSD's Governing Board.
Oh, man. Once that appointment was announced, I believe on Friday, there were all sorts of conspiracy theories running around. Oh, my goodness. He's in the Department of Economics, too.
Yes.
And I thought that was kind of amusing. And, of course, now – and from what I understand, actually TUSD every year redoes this. So it wasn't like they booted someone out. It's just interesting they went back to Mark Stegeman, and the proponents of ethnic studies cannot be happy with this at all. They are not happy with this. And so it's going to be interesting to see what comes out of the TUSD board. It's going to be very interesting to see what comes of that federal lawsuit that's still lurking out there.
Yeah, because the board now is waiting, I understand, to see what the superintendent of public instruction in Arizona, Mr. Hoopenthal, will decide now that there was a ruling.
I think they're waiting for him to actually announce it, but I don't think there's any really tension there or questions on what exactly he's going to say. He's going to say, yes, ethnic studies is illegal, no doubt about that. And so then it all comes down to – and I think it's pretty clear at this point the TUSD board is nudging in the direction where they're going to probably get rid of it or revamp it so it comes into play with this state law, which I personally think is a bit ridiculous of a state law. But then again, you know, it really comes down to the federal lawsuit and if anything will come of that at all.
Got about 2 minutes to go on the Friday Reporters Roundtable. I'm with Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News and Jimmy Bogle, the Tucson Weekly. Jimmy's very proud, and he should be, of the current issue of the Weekly and the extensive coverage put together by Jimmy's team on the one-year anniversary of the Tucson shootings. Dan, you know every time you are with me here on the Friday Roundtable, I want a Rosemont update. And isn't there another hearing that held this week?
There actually it's coming up. The last public hearing is going to be at Saurita High School in at the district auditorium in I believe it's the 14th. Check our website, gvnews.com.
Nice
for that.
Plug, dude.
Very good.
Thanks, sure. And
selective,
and I got to tell you,
placement. That's called.
And I've been at some of these forums. I got to tell you that they're not really saying what the Forest Service wants to hear. They really want people to be speaking specifically to the draft EIS and what it is that they like or don't like. And so I don't know how good this is, but people do feel good about being able to talk.
But there are more hearings.
Right, and there's going to be some more. You know what? This is going to take a long time to play out. I think Rosemont thinks they're going to be digging by the end of the year. It's not going to happen.
Jimmy, any comment about Rosemont?
I couldn't agree with Dan Scheer more on that. There are a lot of people opposed to it. The Weekly, of course, is on the record being opposed to it. But, you know, our sister paper Inside Tucson Business is fighting for it. It's still a big issue. There's still a lot of arguing to be done. And it's going to continue to play out for a while. And Rosemont, if they want to get digging by the end of the year, I don't think it's going to be happening.
And, Jimmy, a quick downtown question. Every time you're with me, I always try to bring up downtown. The city is considering a central business district. This has to do with a tax abatement proposal. But I kind of thought we had a central business district.
Yeah, it's called Rio Nuevo, but that isn't going very well right now. You might have heard in the news. Yeah, it's just there's so many issues with downtown, and unfortunately we don't have very much time left. We'll have to save that for another show because we could go on for another couple hours and really upset the people who have the shows after this.
But people do go downtown and are going downtown
absolutely.
In bigger
it's
numbers.
It's as vibrant downtown. As it's ever been since I've been here.
Yeah, so downtown is coming back. 12:50 on the Buckmaster Show, Jimmy Bogle. Good to see you from the Tucson Weekly and Dan Scheer. Always a pleasure. Thank you, gentlemen. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Coming up with Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. He's freshly back from Hawaii, Maui.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded in 1930 by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn still sets the standard for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. The Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. The Arizona Inn has again been named one of the best 500 hotels on earth by Travel and Leisure magazine, the only hotel in Tucson to receive this top honor. And the Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson at 2200 East Elm and on the web at arizonainn.com. That music signals Matt Russell, the culinary cruiser himself, back from the island of Maui and a wonderful Hawaiian vacation. Matt Russell, the host of Weekend Watch, Matt Russell, award-winning public communications official here in town. And we missed you, Matt. And I understand there's a rumor going around that in order for you to board your flight back to the mainland, you... you actually ate so much over there on vacation that you had to pay excess baggage?
That's indeed the case. I mean, I tried to buy two seats. That would have been plenty to accommodate me, no, but I had to literally chug five cans of macadamia nuts just to meet the weight requirements. Bill, that is a tough order for me.
I'll tell you, all those little souvenir shops there at the Hawaiian airports, they really make it tough for you,
yeah,
selling macadamia nuts in every imaginable variety, baked in coconut, and you name it.
Yeah, they saw me coming. Here comes the cruiser.
Lots going on this weekend, and we do want to mention on a serious note, we've been talking about the Beyond Tucson. So many events are planned. That's at beyond-tucson.org for the commemoration of the very sad January 8th. But there are some other things going on, and something called Cookies and Cabernet.
Cookies and Cabernet, exactly. That's tonight, Bill, at 6 o'clock p.m. at the Medicine Man Gallery over there in Tankaverde. And, Bill, your good friend Mark Sublett is partnering with the Girl Scouts of Southern Arizona, and they're going to be inviting a bunch of Tucson chefs to turn out at the event tonight, who are going to be making innovative desserts using Girl Scout cookies. And so, you know, pick your favorite cookie that the Girl Scouts sell and imagine what kind of desserts can be prepared. I just found out today that Chef Ginny Wooters from the Abbey and Jack's Kitchen, two of our favorite restaurants, she's going to be making a dessert with Do-Si-Dos, which is one of our favorite Girl Scout cookies. So there's going to be hors d'oeuvres and a fine art showing, a wine tasting, all at the Medicine Man Gallery tonight at 6 o'clock.
And everybody loves Girl Scout cookies.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
I know.
And I have not had my fill of cookies from the holidays, so there's always there's always room for some Girl Scout cookies. Third annual Sonoran Art Glass Academy, a chili festival.
Yeah,
to boot.
This is going to go on Saturday, tomorrow, starting at 3 p.m. over there at the Sonoran Glass Art Academy, which is at 633 West 18th Street. They're going to be doing live glass blowing demonstrations, a glass chili pepper making, and all you can eat chili. I'm going to be there. Beer and wine tasting. They're going to be serving up some wonderfully warm Mexican hot chocolate. This is an event for chili heads all across Southern Arizona. And again, Bill, it's Saturday starting at 3 p.m.
What'd you learn in the cooking area over on Maui? Was there anything particularly really caught your eye and you know, your taste buds?
Yeah, we just really enjoy the fresh fish. You know, we can certainly get some fresh fish here in Southern Arizona, but you can't get closer to the source than where we were. And we enjoyed three Hawaiian, native Hawaiian fish, the ono, the opa, and something called the opakapaka, of course, Bill, lovingly, you know, draped through a beautiful macadamia nut crust. We just loved finding different and innovative things you can do with that nut.
And you posted some of those dishes on your Facebook page and made us all very, very envious of your New Year's holiday. Matt, profile some of the farmers markets. These continue just to grow in size and scope all around Tucson.
Yeah, Bill, I'm glad you mentioned that because, you know, of course, on this segment every week we talk about all the opportunities for your listeners to go eat out. But for those aspiring home chefs and those who like to stay in, I really encourage you to take a look at some of the farmers markets that we have all across Southern Arizona. Two of my favorites in particular are the farmers market up at St. Philip's Plaza on River and Campbell, and Plaza Palomino on Fort Lowell and Swan. But there's more than 20 that I know of that are going on this weekend. And one of the things I love about shopping at these farmers markets, of course, you can get local produce and locally baked goods and seeds and spices and such. But it's not atypical, Bill, for you to run into some of Tucson's leading chefs that actually shop at these farmers markets themselves. And, you know, I ran into Ramiro Scavo, the chef at Pasco Kitchen and Lounge, the other day at a farmers market. And it's just encouraging to see our local chefs supporting local farms and really using that as part of their culinary approach in the kitchen. It's just encouraging.
Yeah, it's wonderful to see those local ingredients finding their way into those tasty dishes. Matt Russell, hope you have a great New Year's, and we're glad you're back from Maui. Looking forward to great things from Russell Public Communications in 2012. Thanks, Matt.
All the best to you, Bill.
All right, Matt Russell. The Friday show is sponsored in part by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net. The Buckmaster Show is also brought to you in part by Flowers Rieger and Associates Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at FlowersRieger.com. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of Team Buckmaster, you know what I say, it only takes two to be a team. And my teammate across the glass, Rosemary Brandt, terrific producer. She's the best. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you back here live Monday, noon, on KVOI, The Voice.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas and 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.